fancy. I know the callers want to get in, give their thoughts on the trade deadline. We're, of course, recapping. We get into some Jet stuff later on with McLaurin. I heard Gio talking about it this morning. I know you wanted to get into that about Terry McLaurin requesting a trade, possibly a fit for the Jets. And, of course, Mikal Bridges signing an extension, so we'll do some other stuff outside of the baseball. Let's keep it going here with the trade deadline conversation for now. Dylan is calling from Long Island. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, BT and Sal. Today was made for you guys, man. This is great stuff so far.
Nice.
I just want to come at you, Sal, here, because I was going to do a whole thing about the starting pitching, but that little Volpe, Wells, Dominguez thing drove me nuts. So I got to ask you this. Out of all the prospects in New York, right, is there any bigger fail than Francisco Alvarez if we want to talk about failures in New York? His 220 career average, he was a number one prospect in all of baseball. Is there anybody that's a bigger fail than him? And I don't care what he's done over the last 10 games.
Absolutely. Now, Francisco Alvarez has not lived up to the expectation, but absolutely there are bigger fails. You have to remember there are circumstances here. He also hit 20, you know, he's hurt, obviously, a lot of this year. Francisco Alvarez has come nowhere to living up to the expectation, but I wouldn't say that he's the biggest failure. I think there are many more.
Okay, that's fair.
And well, I mean, Dylan, what do you think this is? Do you think this is an anti-Yankee thing? It's not. I just said it before.
With you, I think it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I do it, with you for sure.
It's not. It's that I'm real. Maybe others aren't, so it makes me feel like it is. It's not. It's real. Go ahead, ask me another one about the Mets. Like, you think I don't rip the Mets? I rip the Mets more than anybody and have consistently than anybody. So it's not. So you're wrong, Dylan, and anybody else who thinks the same thing. I don't care if it's BT or somebody else, any Yankee fan, stop being so sensitive. I call it how it is. By the way, I came on today and said, neither team did enough. But you don't want to hear that. You're hearing what you think is anti-Yankee stuff. It's not. Show me the facts how Dominguez, Volpe, or Wells have lived up to the expectations. I just admitted Alvarez has not lived up to the expectations. Can any Yankee fan admit that their three guys haven't lived up to the expectations? I'm still waiting to hear it.
Wait, hold on. I already did.
I don't think that you did.
It'd
be the equivalent of me saying, well, Alvarez hit 25 home runs a year
ago. Well, you just said that, Sal.
No. I acknowledge that he's not where he was. I'm saying it's part of the story. It's part of his thing here. Alvarez, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. So if I have to say it a different way, tell me, I will. I think this is pretty clear, but if it's not, let me know. When I said a week ago, I wouldn't let Dominguez play left field again. Is that not pretty clear on how I view him right now? When I said 2 days ago, I would bench Volpe. And a week ago, is that not pretty clear on how I feel about these guys?
No, but I think we're just talking about overall. Like,
Yes. And to get to where they need to be, which is the ultimate goal, those are the things that I would try to do before I either ship them out or give up on them.
I was just going to say, also, as far as it goes with Alvarez, the Mets sent him down.
Yeah.
Remember, they sent him down.
I get it.
Obviously, and we were saying that they should send him down,
yep.
And they did. And now he's come back and he's producing again. So we're still in the evaluation period of Alvarez. But as far as him being the top prospect and all that, no, he's come nowhere close to that. So now, as you go with the Yankees, yeah, it's, hey, they might have to move Dominguez, or they might have to sit Volpe, or send him back, whatever it may be. But that's where we're at with these three guys.
Well, I mean, I'll
let Dylan go in a second. Go ahead. I put him on hold. Go ahead.
Yeah, good. Go ahead, Dylan. Finish up, man. You got another thought? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas.
Yep.
Just wanted to also touch on both deadlines because this is where I'm going to be nice to the Mets, Sal. I think David Stearns did a great job. I think Brian Cashman did a great job.
I think
David Stearns addressed every need except for top-end starting pitching, which is really what the Mets needed, and it didn't move at this deadline. Charlie Morton, Merrill Kelly, those aren't top-end guys. They just aren't.
Those
guys are not going to change the Mets and Yankees starting pitching trajectory of the season. They're just not. Especially with Louis Seal coming back for the Yankees and for the Mets. Is Merrill Kelly and Charlie Morton really going to change anything for their rotation? I don't think it is.
No, and Merrill Kelly, thank you for the call, Dylan. Merrill Kelly, I was told, did not like New York. I think Ottavino even said that on the air, that Merrill Kelly did not like New York last night.
Oh, good. We don't want him then. He doesn't have the chops to do. You don't want to come. We can't roll the dice on if you got big enough stones to handle New York, you know?
That's exactly what I said. No, it wouldn't have been a difference maker. And by the way, for the record, like, yeah, both teams did a good job. I don't think, but Dylan says, oh yeah, they both did great, but they could have used another starter. Like, well, okay, if you thought that the Mets needed a top starter, then you shouldn't be satisfied with what they did.
Yeah, I get that, because you're saying one thing and then you're saying, well, I would have liked this, but yet you give him a really high grade. Well, it's got to be a little bit less than that if you wanted more, and he didn't get it. I understand the concept. What I said to Sal earlier is, and this applies to both teams, is that both teams now have a chance to kind of, you know, connect the game in a bit of an unconventional way. Yeah, we would all love to give the baseball to Dwight Gooden or Clemens or Andy Pettit and just chill for 2 hours and say, all right, go put up 7 or 8 zeros and get in, you know, Mariano or Roscoe or whatever, McDowell. Sure, the game's very different. So while it's still a little bit worrisome that both teams have some shallowness, if you will, in the back of the rotations, both teams' ability to stack bricks from inning really four. Like, Holmes went 3 2/3 the other day. And the Mets offense didn't show up, I get that. But if Holmes next time out goes 3 2/3, the Mets are so much more equipped to just connect that game and maybe win based on the new arms they have. And same for the Yankees.
Yeah, both teams. Look, it's the number one thing that I would value. And by the way, I think the Mets, you can make the argument, we have made this. I think the Mets needed a top-end starter more than the Yankees. The Yankees have an ace in Max Fried. The Mets have Senga, who's good, Peterson, who's good, Manaea, who's good and pitched like an ace last year, but they don't have a legit ace the way that Max Fried is. So you can make a case the Mets certainly needed one more, even though the Yankees maybe feel like their rotation's been beat up or could have used a depth piece, whatever. Mm-hmm. But as far as the bullpen goes, that to me is the number one thing that you need as the weapon going into the postseason. It's just the way the sport is right now. I don't love it, but that's how it is. You want to have as many different arms, power arms, whatever you want to say, lefties. You want to have as many options, as many weapons coming out of that bullpen in October. And I think both the Mets and Yankees made sure that they loaded up in the pen heading into where we expect these teams to be postseason teams. And the bullpen should be the strength. That's no longer a weakness. Now it's about some of the other stuff with these teams.
Bullpens are loaded, which really makes it appealing and enticing and encouraging. One more thing on the prospects. I was thinking about this during the break. Like, think about the hoops that we've jumped through, whether it's Daniel Jones or whether it's Zach Wilson or whether it's Sam Darnold, like trying to figure out, and basically we weren't good, but Jones the best of the three, not saying much, but like we would go through hoops and mental gymnastics. Well, if Zach had a better O-line or better play call or Darnold had this or Jones had like we try to conjure up every ounce of information to give us the ability to project what those quarterbacks would have been with optimal situations. And that's so hard. It's almost impossible. And I got to tell you, I think the only thing harder than that is judging prospects. Because number one, what you do with AAA doesn't always correlate to what you do in the majors. Usually it's less. Sometimes it's actually more in a weird, wild way. And the other thing too is a lot of these, now Volpe's gotten runway, Dominguez has gotten runway, Alvarez early on got runway. But a lot of the times these guys get called up and they're not playing every day, especially the old Yankee way. You know, you play two games, you don't do anything, you sit, you get set down, you get sent packing. It's just very, and I don't pretend to be an expert on this. I'm just telling you my philosophies and how I view certain prospects. It is very hard to do. But it's hard for Cashman and Stearns.
But that's exactly why I would be willing more so to give them up. And by the way, like everybody thinks, oh, you're just giving up or you're trading these guys. No. It would be a scenario where if you want to use the Kwan example with the Yankees, whatever example with the Mets, you'd obviously have to be getting back something worthy. And specifically with Kwan, because he's under control and I think a perfect fit for the Yankees, to me it would be worth it to give up Spencer Jones or Dominguez or whatever it would take. And then you have the next guys coming up. Like, there are certain guys you're not going to want to give up for whatever reason. By the way, Dominguez was that. For years, Dominguez was that. And now all of a sudden, maybe he's more vulnerable. It just goes to show you that you don't know. And by the way, BT, to take it a step further, all the guys that the Mets and Yankees did give up at this trade deadline, there's no guarantee that one of them's not going to pop and become a star player. You don't know. Just because we haven't heard of them or because they haven't been raking at AAA or whatever it may be doesn't mean that they can't pop and become a productive big leaguer.
No question about it. You know, we focus on the top two, top three, top four guys. You know, sometimes it's the guy who's 13th that just comes out of nowhere.
Right.
And it clicks a little bit late, whether you're a pitcher or a hitter. You know, and listen, go back to the beginning of the Yankee dynasty when George, thankfully, rest in peace, but thank God he was suspended for two games. We can get business back on track. And George was saying, to stick Michael, trade Pettit, trade Bernie, trade this guy.
Right.
And this, for those maybe too young to know, I know you know this, but for those who don't know, Stick lied to him. And he's like, yeah, nobody really wants him. There's not a whole lot of interest. We're going to get 50 cents on the dollar. Let's just keep him, see what happens. Because Stick's instinct, now Stick was also a great baseball visionary and tactician, But you just don't know. And if the Yankees would have consented, or if he would have consented or conceded to what George wanted him to do, I'm not saying the Yankees would be championship-less, but it would have been a lot tougher without Pettit, Bernie, Moe, whatever combination it was. So it's a mixed bag. There's no 100%, let's do this, we're right. 100%, don't do this, we'll be wrong. You got to get a little lucky. You got to have good instincts. And the bottom line is you really need to have a good core. And this is probably the biggest point. Of veteran players around these young guys, like a Judge, like a Bellinger, like a Pete, Soto, and Lindor.
But, BT, to your point about Stick, he properly evaluated that. When are we going to see Brian Cashman properly evaluate that? That's why I keep referencing these examples. This is not a philosophy of trade them all, mm-hmm. get rid of all the prospects. It's specific to Cashman because the Yankees, to their credit, always have these hyped prospects. The Yankees, to their fault, either hold on to these guys and or don't develop them. That's the thing. And this has been going on in recent years, the baby bombers, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
That's my issue, is that I don't trust Brian Cashman and the current Yankee organization to properly evaluate which prospects to keep, which ones to trade. They're reluctant to trade many of them, obviously, except mm-hmm. the guys that we don't hear of, and everybody's okay with doing that. But the ones that they do keep here, I'm fine with that. I just want to see them develop. And the current roster alone has three that have not developed to the level. That's all that I'm saying.
No, I got you. Listen, I'll throw this in, too. So one of the names that was dealt, and I read a little bit about him even before yesterday, Rock Reggio, middle infield. Okay. I think he was like the 10th best prospect in the Yankee system.
Not their top guy. Their top guy was the other guy, right? Rafael something there?
Flores.
Yeah.
So many names written down. Yep. Jeez. Well,
I mean, same thing, I know.
New players, dude. But, like, take Rock Reggio, who was the Yankees' 10th-rated prospect, right? And not by the Yankees, by other, you know, MLB pipeline whatever. Yeah. And to me, like, if Rock Reggio, this is what makes it interesting. If Rock Reggio was the second rated prospect, and it's not like he was the 37th, he was only 8 slots away from being number 2.
Right.
There were, and he was traded like he was, there would be a different energy, maybe even from me, quite frankly. So the ratings, it's a dime a dozen, throw a dart, this guy's 1, this guy's 4, this guy's 9, this guy's 20. Who the hell knows? And I think the difference between you and I've got more willingness and patience to roll the dice with these higher end kids who can run and have different type bodies and different plus assets, you know, as players. But not everybody's like that. I get it.
And the other difference to your point about Reggio, like, who's to say that next year he couldn't be number 2? So it fluctuates so much.
That's true.
Same thing with Spencer Jones alone. If you use him as the one example, it fluctuates so much that from year to year, it's like, oh, this guy's a top guy. Whoever, pick a guy, Devi Garcia, whatever it may be.
Peraza, a couple years ago.
He was supposed to be the shortstop. Oh, Beatty, can't miss, third baseman. And now look at it. It's like, he's a middling, you know, maybe a utility guy. So it fluctuates so much, which is also part of the reason why I wouldn't have as much patience. Andrew is calling from Flemington. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Sal, BT.
What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, can we start with the Stephen Kwan love? The way you guys talk, he's like Mike Trout in his prime.
Not me.
He's a career.
I don't like him that much.
He's a career 750 OPS, sub 400 slugging. You don't give up a Dominguez for Stephen Kwan.
You're crazy. You do if you're smart. You do if you're smart, Andrew. What does Stephen?
Go ahead.
Well, what does Stephen Kwan do well?
He's a slapping Judy hitter. He's got 34 homers in four seasons.
Andrew, are you caught up on home runs or are you caught up on baseball players? Which one?
He's a good player.
Andrew. He's a 3-time Gold Glover and a 2-time All-Star that can pencil in to lead off right now for the Yankees that will put the bat on the ball and hit for a high average, which balances out the other strengths of this team, specifically power. Yeah.
You don't give up a guy that has a ceiling of a Dominguez or Spencer Jones for Stephen Kwan, though. Their ceilings are much, much higher than this guy.
Hold on. That's a personal philosophy, and thanks for the call. Now, I'm more with you. And by the way, like, if Toronto did that, or the Red Sox did that, or the Tigers did that, or the Astros did that, or maybe the Seattle, even though Seattle made 2 moves, as we know, and they gave up like their second best prospect, their seventh. Like, okay, to me, that maybe there's more of a conversation to have. But the fact that that doesn't mean ultimately that Kwan wouldn't have helped the Yankees. He certainly would have, because he does things that really nobody else on the roster does so far. I get that. But that nobody else was tempted, well, maybe not tempted, but was inspired enough to do it and give up whatever was required to get him. Yankees aren't the only team that said, nah, we're good. You know what I mean? So same with Alcantara. Like, if other teams were beating down those doors, like with Mason Miller giving up the third overall prospect in baseball, I think it's maybe a little more fair criticism. Like, ah, Cashman, this team did that. What are you doing? No, but nobody else did it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're right.
But it doesn't mean that they're wrong.
Yeah, but here's why nobody else did it. The prices are sky high.
I know.
Why? Why are the prices sky high?
Well, because you've got five teams bidding for one guy.
No. Because the player is good, cheap, and under control. And I love that. Oh, you can't give up a player like Dominguez with his potential for Stephen Kwan. Oh, a two-time All-Star? Hey, guys, wake me up when Dominguez sniffs the All-Star game. That's number one. He was supposed to be. The potential and ceiling is supposed to be. The reality is he isn't. And he's lucky that he has a position. Already, the main talking point with Dominguez is not his super skill, his light tower power. It's, I don't know if he could play left field. Maybe try him in center. Maybe he's not an outfielder. I don't know if he could hit right-handed. So let's not dismiss. Now, you can, it's within your right and your opinion to value whatever you want. Whoever, I'm not talking to you, BT. I'm talking in general.
I get you.
You want to value Dominguez? That's fine. You want to value Stephen Kwan? That's like I do. That's fine. What is known is Stephen Kwan is a gold glove outfielder. That's proven, and it's not a fluke. Jason Dominguez is not.
Yes.
I'd rather have the known commodity, especially when it comes to the Yankees, being that he would, to me, a perfect complement. They don't have a leadoff hitter. They could use more high average, high contact, and a gold glove fielder. Like okay. That, it's. I'm giving you multiple reasons why.
Yes, I got you. I just don't agree, but I got you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now the other thing, Sal, you're leaving out one thing that I tend to value, and that's the birth certificate. It's 22.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a little more willing to see. I mean, if there's one sport where it takes a while to get going, it's baseball.
Well, we're seeing that certainly with the Yankees, yes.
And we're seeing that with the Mets, too. Yeah.
But I wouldn't have that patience. And that's what I'm saying. We're seeing with the Yankees with the three guys. I mean, with the Mets.
Hold on. But the Mets have had that patience. They've given Beatty run. They've given Vientos runway. They've given Acuna space. They've given Alvarez a chance to fix him. Mets are showing the same restraint that the Yankees are.
They sent those guys back down to the minors.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Beatty's been up and down. Vientos was up and down. No. They're trying to trade Vientos. It didn't work.
By the way,
Vientos had as more impact than anybody of the you want to go quadrant. Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, Vientos. Mark Vientos has proven, forget about the ceiling, he has proven himself more, even if it's just one season a year ago, than any of the other three.
I agree. He was phenomenal down the stretch.
But even with that, there's still inconsistencies and still maybe willing to move him. So,
well, think about this. And this is why... I mean, I'm not trying to make some grand statement, but this is why baseball is the hardest thing to predict. So up, down, Syracuse, up, down, up, down, up, down, nothing really good, up, down. Okay, well, who is this guy? I mean, at one point, people were saying he's not even a baseball player, he was horrendous.
Right.
And I kind of agreed with that. I'm like, this guy doesn't look the part. He's slow. He can't feel whatever. And he wasn't hitting. And then he played twice as good as Pete Alonso down the stretch. I know the big home run against Devin Williams, and then, of course, Pete got hot against Philly, whatever, had some big postseason moments, and I've got respect for Pete. But you're not going to see Landry Shamet outplay Jalen Brunson. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just baseball.
Right, and by the way, we talk about the fluctuation with these guys. Viento, same thing. Like, it happens, and that's a part of why I'd be willing to give up the high side or the potential for a known commodity. I'm not looking to give guys away, but Kwan, to me, with the Yankees specifically, would be a perfect fit. Hey, either way, it didn't happen. So now we'll see in 5 years where Dominguez is. Maybe it'll be fewer. Maybe it'll be 2 years. Maybe 3 years. Hey, maybe it's the postseason he go nuts. Who knows? We'll find out.